Next on BYUSN, Cougar football's 8-0 heading into the bye week. What are the chances that BYU wins out? We'll break down the numbers. College Football Network's Cam Mellor joins the program to discuss Jake Retzlaff's rise this season and what BYU needs to do to be at least in that large playoff.
Cole Ponich and Tyson Shelley of BYU Men's Golf break down winning the Big 12 match play event, and they'll look back on their fall season. And in the spirit of Halloween, the Top 5 Tuesday featuring the best trick plays from BYU football this season.
Oh, lots of treats, lots of tricks. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, October 29th. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is Key and Peele East-West All-Star General Manager Jason Shepard.
So the all-name honorable mentions were released, and Townsend Triple was the all-name team. Some of these are great, by the way. Do you have a favorite, by the way, on some of these?
Tony's pretty good. Solo Ball. Zatarius Mortal.
Oh, boy.
Great Osibor, played at Utah State.
Now correct.
Washington, making $2 million in NIL. We call him the Cam Rising of college basketball.
Yeah. But, yeah, Townsend Triple making it. BYU making the list of the all-name team honorable mentions. And, look, we need to get used to BYU being on lists, okay?
Yes, we do. Okay, BYU has a few fun names in basketball regarding three, right? You have Townsend Triple. Mm-hmm. You have Trey Stewart. Yep. You have Max Triplett.
Yeah.
A trio of Trey.
Yes.
Of triplets,
exactly.
If you will.
Look, if your name has triple or anything like that,
yeah,
there's a certain expectation that you're going to hit threes, right?
Well, and I put the pressure on my son, Tate Michael Jordan.
Hey, yeah, good luck with that.
Pressure's on, bro.
Look, when he has the flu, people are going to expect his best.
Yes, they will. Game five. I am hoping he's a general authority one day, so it can be Elder T. Michael Jordan. That'd be sweet. Tate, no pressure, buddy. Please go to bed on time tomorrow night. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
We'll really get excited if BYU's 8-0 going into the bye before Utah.
Here we are. 8-0, baby!
We still haven't done much, but I'd like to see us play our best football of the year in this game.
Hey, if there's a better gear there for BYU, I can't wait to see it, man. Hopefully it's November 9th. What's Trending is presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Cougars 8-0, enjoying the ride, making statements, playing individual week Super Bowls. They're now resting / working during a bye week ahead of a game with that team up north next week. So, Shep, there are 4 games left in the regular season. Here's what ESPN's FPI has to say about win percentage chance at Utah: 60, Kansas 65, Arizona State 58, Houston 87. Are you expecting BYU to win out in the regular season?
Based off of everything we have seen from this team this year and the way that they are playing right now, yes, I do expect them to win out. Now, does that mean that they're going to? We certainly hope that that means that they will. But the percentages have flipped from BYU being, you know, less than 50% in most of these games down the stretch, with the exception of Houston. It's all flipped to where BYU is now the favorite. And BYU should be the favorite because they are the better team in these games, all 4 of these games.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, look, and here's the other part. Let's just look at the way that BYU's playing. The defense right now had that little bit of a hiccup against Oklahoma State, but all in all is holding teams far below what they're coming in averaging. They're turning the other team over.
Oh, yeah.
And taking the ball and a lot of times scoring points off of it. So you've got that aspect. The offense now has Jake Retzlaff playing at a high level, the best he's ever played at BYU. Now you bring in a healthy LJ Martin that solidifies the ground game. Your offensive line has been solid. You've got weapons all over the field for Jake to be able to choose who he wants to throw the ball to, or who the opposition is not guarding at the time. There's so many different choices for him. Based on all that, yes, BYU should win out. And the fact that we're having this conversation right now is so awesome.
The idea of 12-0 just makes me smile so big, because it is actually possible, like you're talking about. As you take a look at the four remaining games, all absolutely winnable at Utah. I put out a poll yesterday, the pulse meter. Majority of you said nervous when that was an option. I gave,
which,
you know,
is understandable.
Extremely confident. You know, it's like some people are like, where's the middle ground between nervous and extremely confident? Kansas, you can win at home. They're 2-6. Kansas, turnover machines. They probably should be 4-4, maybe 5-3, but they turn it over a ton. They had the ball 3.5 minutes left and a 1-point lead and coughed it up, and Kansas State wins.
Game-winning field goal.
Okay, Arizona State is the toughest. At Utah's the toughest game left.
Correct.
I know that team is 4-4. That is the toughest game left. Arizona State's going to be tough.
That's not a gimme. That is not a gimme.
No. Listen, there are no gimmies. Like, even the way BYU is playing right now, it's not a gimme to beat Kansas and Houston at home. You have to play well. You can't be -3 in turnover margin and expect to win, maybe even -2. But maybe, with the way this team plays. But, like, the reason we think this is actually possible is because of the sustainability of all three phases. Mm-hmm. BYU's they're not extreme or elite in any of the three. They're very good in all three. And I would rather have that than, like, the 0-1 team was this unbelievable offense, but on defense they gave up a ton of points in spite of having, like, a bunch of NFL guys, by the way, on that roster. That is more volatile. Like, game to game, it's like, well, will the offense need to score 40 in this game? The BYU offense, remember a couple weeks ago, the rhetoric was, including from me and on this program, hey, defense is carrying this team. It's like, well, carrying is probably too strong a word. The offense scored between 34 and 41 in every game minus SMU. You know, like, against Power 4 competition. It's the first time since 99 BYU scored 34 or 30-plus six games in a row. That one's crazy, too, that came out. Defense obviously creating a ton of takeaways. It's at the point where it's not lucky, by the way. You get too many of something, it's too obvious that you're good at it, that you do this. Oh, they threw it right to him. Well, wasn't Falatau Satuala in the right spot?
Right.
Because he's coached well by Jay Hill and Gavin Fowler. Like, come on. So, and then special teams. Perhaps the most efficient, fun special teams in the country. Every week we're like, what are they going to do? They're going to do some trick play or trick plays on offense and special teams. It's amazing. The win-out percentages are pretty interesting, by the way. We put up the ESPN. Yeah, we're showing them to you now. ESPN's FPI, 8.7%. That's pretty low.
That's very low.
Feels low.
Much lower than I expected.
Kelly Ford, 21%. Team rankings, 25%. College Football Network, like a shining light in the darkness. 49.1%.
Like a shining blue beacon.
Blue beacon of awesomeness. Here they are. College Football Network, 49%. Our homie Cam Meller will join us in the next segment to talk about why are they so much higher on BYU. And here's the thing. If this actually happens, if BYU actually wins out, we will walk into Dallas knowing BYU's in the playoff regardless of the result of that game. It would be fun to get to and win said game. If you walk in with one loss, Shep, I'm nervous.
Because at that point, you have to win the game
to ensure that you get
into
the college football playoff. I just think there's going to be too many two-loss teams that don't play in a championship game out of the Big Ten and SEC that it's going to be hard to out-at-large one of those teams.
I also
it feels like it's a probable one-bid league unless Iowa State and BYU win out. Or if Kansas State beats Iowa State in Farmageddon, which is such a great name. If Kansas State goes to the title game and beats undefeated BYU, obviously they go two and BYU would go through. There's two bid opportunities. Yeah. But to win out would be unbelievable. It's happened twice in BYU history. 84, obviously, and 79 was regular season undefeated until the bowl game where BYU missed field goal. Lee Corso's Indiana team celebrated on game day for that win, which was kind of hard to watch, honestly.
Well, and let's go over just how difficult it actually is, though, to win out. And all I did was look in the last 3 years, the teams that ended the regular season, so before any conference championship games or anything postseason, how many teams ended the regular season undefeated?
Are you talking FBS?
P4? I'm talking FBS.
Okay.
In 2023, this is a little bit of an outlier. There were five. One of which was Liberty. So five.
It feels high.
I know.
Yeah.
In 2022, there were only three that did it.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2021, there were only two teams. So it is...
How many do we believe will happen this year? Let's walk through the undefeated. Okay. Oregon. Do we believe Oregon will go?
Yes, I do.
Regular season?
Yes, okay. I do.
Penn State. They're going to lose to Ohio State this week.
Penn State. I do not.
Although Ohio State isn't as good as.
But I still would anticipate a loss.
Miami. Probably winning out.
Yeah.
Do they play Clemson? If they play Clemson, that's a good one. Okay, and then Brigham and Iowa State and Indiana. Yeah, to your point, I think there will probably end up being like 3 or 4 at best. It's hard.
It's so hard.
It's so hard. Like, right now, I was on the BYU's losing 1.5 games last week. I'm on 0.5 now. I'm teetering on it's either 0 or maybe there's 1. And let's be honest, if BYU's 11-1 into the Big 12 title game, unbelievable!
Yes, it's unbelievable.
60 minutes to the playoff. You're going to have to win, probably. But, like, sign me up. But this team has been great at just dialing in on the one game. Like, I don't have any sense of them. Like Kalani Sitake said in the press conference, we heard it in the music video, we haven't really done anything yet. Like, you weren't talking about us preseason. Why would we buy into that now? They are dialed in. Like, this is a great week to get healthy. Can you get Connor Payback for the Utah game? We don't know. We'll find out.
He's certainly going to push for it.
He's going to push, man. He's going to try. BYU's relatively healthy, which is great. Like, is Cody Epps going to be available later? I don't know. Like, that receiving core is so deep that you almost haven't noticed. That's not a knock on Cody. That's a strength of that group. And then you walk into Utah, and if you win that game and you kind of exercise some demons in that stadium from the last 18 years of unfortunate futility, perhaps you break another streak, another trend, as Spencer has talked about. This is a trend-breaking squad. Then you come home for Kansas. It's been like a month since you've been home. This is a fortress now. Good luck playing against BYU in this stadium, no matter what time of day is. Try and not cough it up. Try and stop this offense. Try and stop the special teams. At Arizona State becomes very interesting as well. And then Houston is a very interesting game Thanksgiving week at the end of November. Senior day, chance to perhaps go undefeated or lock up a Big 12 title appearance. Man, every week is stinking important.
Well, the other thing that we're going to find out, and we'll find out a week from tonight when the official college football playoff rankings come out.
I thought you were going to say we're going to find out the president. No,
well, we'll find that out as well.
And college basketball for BYU starts. A lot going on next Tuesday.
We're going to know exactly where BYU is viewed and how they're viewed those rankings come out.
Are you expecting it to be...
Oh, I expect that BYU's. I expect BYU's going to not get what they deserve and have earned this year.
So outside the top 10.
No, I don't know about that. But I'm seeing a lot of like 4 seeds. BYU.
Well, when they release the rankings, they won't do the. Are they doing the playoff seeds as of now? I don't think so. Right?
No. But
I would assume they're just doing the top 25.
But I just assume that look at the, you don't have to go any further than last week, when BYU was an underdog at a 3-4 UCF.
Will they be an underdog in any of the 4 games?
Oh, I hope they are.
We still have a Utah line, right?
This team feeds off that. Yeah. I would love for them to be an underdog at Utah. Please give Utah that.
The cut and conversation, which go watch the cut. I mean, let's be honest. They better be paying them overtime, because they only do the cut if they win. So that BYU social media team, they've been busy, man. They've been no sleep for Brooklyn.
Thank you.
As they used.
Yes, thank you.
There. At Utah, Kansas, at Arizona State, Houston. BYU should be a favorite in all 4 of those. What do you think the line should be at Utah, by the way?
I don't know, maybe BYU by 6?
I was going to say like 5.
Yeah. I
5 or 6.
Split it, 5.5?
5.5. We'll see, man. Oh, this I can't believe we're still talking about undefeated BYU, man. This is great.
The amount of things that boil down to the BYU-Utah game are insane.
It is insane. And I'm with everybody else on my, like, way too early. Like, I think BYU win the game, and I actually think they'll win it comfortably. But I am still,
I am still
nervous.
Nobody can say they're not nervous.
I've seen too many games in person in that stadium to be like, yeah, BYU's rolling. In my mind, that's what's going to happen. But in my heart, I'm like, show up.
Who was the quarterback that came in? BYU was the heavy. Was it Brett Ratliff?
05.
That when Utah came in, had no business winning that game, and they came into Provo and won that game.
I don't want to talk about that. Why'd you bring that up?
Because we need to remember it.
Why?
so that it doesn't happen again.
It's not in. It's not in pro, like,
but you know my point. One team was clearly the favorite.
Why are you stressing me out, dude? Okay. Question of the day is this. Michael Reid broke his arm diving for the ball, by the way, on that play in overtime. Give your all to that point. Holy mackerel. Are you expecting BYU to win out in the regular season? I can't even believe this. This topic. This is so good. What are they talking about on Utah Sports Nation today? At Mr. Daniel QT on X. Expecting? No. 12-0, hard for any team, to your point. Optimistic? Absolutely. BYU has an it factor that defies all metrics and analytics. Their obvious team culture and weekly preparation have officially made me a believer week in and week out. That is a, I think they will, but I'm the week-to-week person.
It's fine.
Which I think is fair. I think it's fair. CJ Wildboy on Instagram. Don't tell the honor code. Yes, they have shown me no reason not to expect that. However, one at most. I believe that, too. If BYU loses, it's one.
It's going to be one. And look, and if that's how it plays out, there's...
You'll still make the Big 12
There's absolutely nobody that should be upset with one loss in the regular season. Stop it. That's the way this plays out.
They will be disappointed if undefeated doesn't happen.
Sure.
But
if it's taken away by Utah.
Let's not even talk about those. That possibility. Jeez.
All right. ESPN's Jeff Borzello and Myron Metcalf released a list of the top 100 players in college basketball and had BYU's Yegor Demin as the only player on that list, coming in at number 89. Now, how about this? CBS Sports' Matt Norlander's list of the top 100 players didn't have any players from BYU, which was quite surprising when I looked at that. Which one is more accurate?
I would think that Yegor is the top 100 player in college basketball. Now, initially, I can hear the uproar from here. Whoa, he's a lottery pick projected. Why isn't he one of the top 100? Well, he probably should be in Norlanders. But there are four-year guys, or in the case of Hunter Dickinson, like a 19th-year guy, where you've been around college basketball for a long time. And is Hunter Dickinson perhaps a better college basketball player than Yegor Demin? Yes, but that's not the end game for Yegor. Yegor is going to have a very good year where he's probably like a, 15 points, 5 assists, and 6 rebound guy. And he's maybe the 12th pick or something. It's about potential. It's about upside, length and athleticism and quickness and everything. Vision. Those are a little different, right? Do I think that Cannon catching should have probably been somewhere in here? Cannon's not as sort of highly regarded as Yegor at this point. But the ceiling feels really high for Cannon catchings, given what Kevin Young told us after the blue and white game. He said, if he locks in defensively, it takes us to another level, another hemisphere, which I'm very excited to watch those two in particular, not to mention the entire group coming up tomorrow night in the exhibition.
I understand everything you just said, but I'm going to use the example that you said, sort of brushed aside. I have a hard time believing that somebody that is viewed as a lottery pick in the NBA is not a top 100 player. So
it should be in Norlanders.
It should be in Norlanders. Yeah. 100%.
Should Cannon?
Yes, I expected to see Cannon Catchings and Yegor Demin in the top 100. I thought it was almost a given that both of them would be in it. I'm even surprised, quite frankly, that Yegor comes in at 89. I would have expected to see that higher.
Maybe in the 40s or 50s.
Yeah, like I expected top 50 for Yegor.
If he was a domestic high school player, perhaps he would have been higher. I think part of the thing is he's an international player. The film is a little different. The ratings are a little different for foreign players sometimes.
Right.
Just less film, less paying attention there. Yegor is going to be a baller, though. I expect him to be second team all Big 12. That's what I expect. To be first team all Big 12, it's big time.
It's big time.
And I expect Yegor to be on the cusp of that. It'll be interesting. Okay, what do you hope to learn about women's hoops tonight in an exhibition game against Westminster, which you can listen to on the BYU Radio app with you, Shep, on the call?
Yeah, look, 9 new players into the program, some of them freshmen, a couple of transfers coming in. I've obviously had a chance to see them in practice, so I get to see it, but I want to be able to see what they do against another team. And yeah, for those that will be tuning into the broadcast tonight, coming up at halftime, I talked with assistant coach Lee Kamard. And one of the things you'll see a much more up-tempo style out of this offense this year.
He's running the show now, right?
Well, and he used the term uncomfortably fast is the way that they have kind of termed it. They want to play like that. And, when you lose a player like Lauren Gustin, it does allow for a little bit different style because you don't have that same type of player that's in the post.
Know your personnel.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm excited to see how that meshes the up-tempo style with all these new players against somebody else.
We've waited like 2 years to watch Delanie Gibb in a BYU uniform. I'm excited.
It's going to be fun.
Number 77 recruit in the country. Idaho player of the year, Brinley Cannon, is going to be fun. You got Congdon, Hudgens, Ogden, Gillespie as transfers. So I'm excited, man. You lose Lauren Gustin, sister Kaylee Woolston in the wire mission in Baltimore. Not there. So what is this team? How will they compete in the Big 12? I'm excited to get a taste of that starting tonight. And again, you can listen to that on the BYU Radio app with Shep tonight.
All right, if you missed yesterday's episode of Coordinator's Corner with Aaron Roderick and Kelly Papinga, oh, don't fret. You can find it on demand anytime on BYUSN.com.
Frankly, I learn a ton from watching, listening to that show every week. Check it out. It's awesome. Be an insider. Listen to it. Still ahead, Cam Miller of College Football Network on if BYU wins out. Jake Retzlaff ranked where in his Big 12 quarterback rankings and how many NFL guys are on the roster right now for the Cougars. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
We are now off until...
Hey, no, baby!
They are playing at the highest of high levels.
It's the defense stepping up when they need to. It's the offense stepping up when they need to, week in and week out.
We have to start thinking about this team as an undefeated team at 12-0 and possibly 13-0.
Preach, Trevor. Preach. He would know. He was on that 13-0 1984 National Championship team. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Jason Shepherd. Friend of the program, you know him. His name's Cam Miller. He's the Executive Director of College Football Network. Now joins the program. Cam, BYU's 8-0, baby. What are you seeing that you like from this Cougar team this year?
8-0, baby. And I think the video just before talks about it. What we're seeing nationally, but also what you see with a little bit of renewed enthusiasm to watch them on a little bit closer perspective. Then the rest of the 133 teams across the nation, it's all three facets. It's when the defense doesn't maybe have the greatest day or the greatest quarter, the offense has picked it up. And then the same thing goes the other way around. And I think all three facets has made this team not just an 8-0 surprise team. It's a team that probably should go 12-0.
Okay, well, you just answered the question then, because, I mean, that's, we're going to jump right into this. Do you believe that BYU, you said they can go undefeated the rest of the way. Do you believe that they will win out?
I believe they will. I believe that they should. And if you look at the numbers, and again, I think I said it on social media, I'm not one for a victory lap, but I don't understand the Vegas line that had UCF as a multiple point favorite. When we had BYU as a 13 point favorite on the road in the bounce house, as good as it, as hard as it is to play down in Orlando, it is home for me. Orlando is, and the BYU team is leaps and bounds, a full two possession team better than UCF is. And that's where I think all of our lines right now and all of our advanced metrics are looking. They're at least a 9-point favorite better than every team left on the schedule. And then until they meet potentially Iowa State or Kansas State again in the Big 12 title game, they will be at least a 2-possession favorite in my book against every remaining team on their schedule.
That's wild because when BYU plays Utah and Salt Lake, fans are cautiously optimistic right now. But also I put out a poll, pulse check yesterday. The majority of BYU fans are saying, I'm actually nervous. There's scar tissue there. Utah and BYU and Salt Lake. BYU hasn't won there in 18 years, yet this feels like the team that's going to end that streak specifically there. Yet, you have BYU by more than 9, so early thoughts on BYU-Utah coming up on November 9th.
Yeah, there are some times when you have to put advanced analytics and the numbers aside and say this game means a little bit different, and there's no way to quantify the feeling of walking into Rice-Eccles. But also look at it historically this season as well. I'm not saying that Utah's on the same level as Florida State, but Miami welcomed Florida State. And that was circled this year as a potentially big ACC game. That rivalry means so much more. Florida State could hang their hat. If they had one victory this year other than that Cal game, if they beat Miami, it would be a successful season at this point. And it didn't matter. Miami walked over them. They coasted. I'm not saying BYU is a Miami team that coasts going into Rice-Eccles, but I think the talent level and what we're seeing is a similar situation where BYU is the better team overall, the better team at essentially every single position. And so, yes, it's probably not a 9-point game in the when the final whistle blows, but BYU is the better team and they should come away victorious.
It's interesting too, Cam, because when you look at this team, largely, certainly from a personnel standpoint, it's the same team that ended last year on a 5-game losing streak, but yet they've turned it around. The changes have come at a couple of different coaching positions, position coaches, I mean. So in your opinion, what has been the biggest difference? Where has BYU improved the most heading into this year?
I look at it in two facets, and I think you're getting incredibly much better defensive front seven. The secondary has their moments, and I don't think the secondary has played up to, I think, what we'd say is its standards this season for BYU. But that defensive front seven, and obviously you lead with Isaiah Glasker and Jack Kelly being the driving forces. But then you have Tyler playing the best football of his life. But then I look at it, the biggest thing to me is that what sets BYU's offense up and what they want to do offensively to me is run the ball. And what's happening this year, if you look at the difference in this year to last year, they're averaging over 2 yards per carry before they're being contacted by the defense. So credit to the running backs, but credit to that offensive line for actually paving the way, giving them the angles to see, the allowing their vision to take over. But that number was stark to me. It was not anywhere close to 2 yards before contact last season, and that's where we are now as the bare minimum.
A healthy L.J. Martin the last 2 weeks has yielded his first two 100-yard games. BYU's run for 250-plus. Look, if BYU continues to run the ball like that, they're going to be just fine. Of the different sources nationally that have win-out percentages in the regular season for BYU, College Football Network, where you are the executive director, has the highest win-out percentage by far for BYU, 49%. ESPN FPI is 8.7. Kelly Ford, 21%. Team rankings, 25%. Why is it that BYU's win-out percentage is so high from College Football Network?
Yeah, I can give you the exact science behind it, the math behind it, but I'd probably be talking here too long, so I'll keep the short version of it. We're high on BYU right now, but that's because of what we've just talked about, but also they've proven us correct and to be right. It's a simple math equation when you get to it, and no, there is no bias or partiality that I'm giving to BYU, to the Cougs. It is just solely based on all of our metrics that are unbiased and that are stable metrics from a week-to-week basis. And I think that's what is giving BYU the benefit of the doubt. There's not a whole lot of luck involved in their victories. There's some, maybe a couple of chances, but it's not luck. It's stable from week to week. And I think that's where we look at our win-out metrics and our win-out numbers and why they're so high for BYU is that they should be good because they've been good in those stable metrics from week to week.
It's interesting that in the preseason poll, there was only one BYU player that made all Big 12, and that was Tyler Batty. I think that's certainly going to change when the postseason results come out. Do you believe that BYU has a player of the year candidate on its roster?
I believe so. I believe we gave Mr. Jack Kelly all of his props and not even enough, in my opinion, with how well he's been playing. I think he is the defensive player of the year, if not the player of the year in the Big 12 at this rate. I know a lot of talk for Big 12 players of the year will go to those guys up in Colorado. But to me, it's what Jack Kelly's been able to do for the defense, what he's been able to add to each element of the defense. And ultimately, you have Jake as well, a quarterback, who will get all the accolades he deserves as well if the season pans out. But to me, Jack Kelly's been that driving force for a defense that has been much improved and for a linebacking core that has made national news.
Yesterday, you released your updated quarterback rankings. Jake Retzlaff, ninth nationally, second in the Big 12 to Shedeur Sanders of Colorado. You have Jake very high. He's not had a ton of love from a lot of people, yet he's leading this thing after 0-4 last year, now 8-0. Why do you have Jake so high?
It's what Jake does on a down-by-down basis. There's a short memory for a quarterback that's necessary. There's all the requisite arm talent that he has, and then there's the fine motor skills for a quarterback, which include the footwork and his shoulder placement and how he moves around in the pocket and creates his abilities. But to me, the biggest thing here, and I don't know if we're going to talk about him as a potential next-level quarterback yet. We'll get to that in the future here if that is his desired path. But to me, it's what we call NFL throws, and it's those throws to outbreaking receivers 10 or more yards down the field. He's on time. He's on schedule. He makes progressive reads, and I think it's not necessarily – there's probably two-prong effect for why he's not maybe nationally known. People are still a little bit wary of the Zach Wilson treatment to rush him, to get him so high only to have that happen. And then ultimately, it's just not as maybe the most attractive offensive game plan that he's running. He's running it seamlessly at most times, but it's not putting up these 60, 70, 80-yard plays that ESPN wants to make his highlights. To me, it's he's playing the best overall football, save for Shedeur Sanders, for what he's been able to do at Colorado in the Big 12.
Cam, the fact that we're even having these types of conversations is just an absolute gift based off of how we all, you know, were sort of told the season was going to go, and it's just gone the complete opposite. So my question is, do you believe that a one-loss BYU team can get an at-large to the college football playoff? And then a follow-up, what if they're a two-loss team?
I'll answer the latter half because that's easier. A two-loss team in the Big 12, no. Unfortunately, there's too much parity at the top of the Big 10 and the top of the SEC for a two-loss Big 12 team. To get in crazier things, I'm sure will happen when we get to the 12 teams and people in a room deciding who those teams should be. A one-loss team, though, to me, it'll come down to, yes, to me, yeah, obviously, I think so. But I think it'll come down eventually to who they lost to and how good that loss was. When we look at these quality losses, if it's a missed field goal or a block or a one possession game that was close and hard fought, then yeah, I think so. I think you still give them the benefit of the doubt. A lot of it will come down to the Big 12. If that's the one loss, if it's the Big 12 championship game, then absolutely we get them in. So it's a lot of areas of gray. It's already almost November, but we still have quite a bit of football left too.
The best case scenario for the Big 12 is that Iowa State and BYU both win out. And then I think you're insured at that point of two bids because one's automatically in. They'll be one of those top four seeds in all likelihood. Well, they would over Boise State at that point with a loss to Oregon, right? So it's pretty interesting. The pressure's on because, like you said, if BYU loses once but doesn't win the Big 12 title game, now they have two losses, they're probably out. So the pressure's on to really win out here. But the Big 12, the land of a bunch of very good teams but no great team, question mark?
A bunch of really good teams, and then to me and all of our metrics and all of our numbers and my entire staff's thought process, there's one great team, and it's BYU. And I'm not just saying that
because
I'm
here countering the BYU guy with actually BYU's great.
No, it's true, though. And yeah. This is, if you look at it, right, this is where they should be
sure.
Right now. You look at it. I did a wins over projections metric as well, and they've already won six games more than what we all or the national consensus was. And I think now you take away the shock value from – that we were just, everybody was wrong because we didn't know what to expect. And that's football for you. The results are played on, the games are played on Saturday. We get those results after the game. It's fun to do it in the preseason. It's fun to talk about what this team is or could have been. What they are is a great team in the Big 12. And if that's a team that can ultimately make a run to the college football playoffs is to be determined. But at this point, yes, they should go 12-0 and they should go 13-0 to be honest.
All right, so we know there's still a lot of football to play, but let's take it after the season. However long the season goes, let's go to after the season. How many NFL guys do you think BYU has on this roster?
A handful. If I had to name them off the top of my head and do a sort of a quick approximation of who I'd have there, Jack Kelly to me is probably getting in an upper echelon of off-ball linebackers in the entire draft class. I think you look at what he's able to do in all three facets. He's adding this incredible blitzer as well. I believe it's like a 22 or 23% success rate when he blitzes to get pressure on the quarterback. That's unheard of. So he's picking his shots. He's great in run defense. And we all know his coverage is top notch. I think you add Caleb Etienne, Darius Lassiter. I'm going to throw Chase Roberts in there as well. And then Tyler Batty and Jacob Robinson as the guys that I think if they're not drafted, they are priority undrafted free agents at this point. So a lot still to be determined. I throw Blake Mangelton, Braden and Marquis in there as well. So a lot of players, I think, get these contracts after the draft, but could have the potential to be in the draft and hear their names called as well.
He is Cam Miller, the executive director of College Football Network. Check out his stuff on collegefootballnetwork.com. Cam, as always, we appreciate the time, man.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks, as always, for having me. And go Cougs.
Go Cougs,
thanks,
indeed. Cam gets it. It is an interesting conversation we need to have at some point. It's like, okay, great and very good. Where do we sit in that space? Because obviously undefeated is perfection.
Right.
But are we talking about, okay, if BYU goes on the road and they play Georgia? Like, or are they in a neutral site, you're playing Georgia? Like,
yeah.
Now you got to be great to win that game. Honestly, I don't care at this point about that idea.
Yeah.
I just want to get to the Big 12. I want to beat Utah.
Correct.
I want to get to the Big 12 title game.
Yes.
And then I want to get to the playoff.
Yeah.
That's I don't even care what happens in the playoff at this point. Put on the biggest awesome blue goggles you can have because we're enjoying this ride.
Well,
this is fun.
The other part about talking to Cam, who looks at it from an analytical standpoint,
yeah.
It is not with emotion. It is not with the blue goggles on. It is not with a fandom in the back of his mind. It is purely on what the numbers and analytics are telling him. That's what I think lends even more, you know, credence to what he's saying, because there is no bias to it. It's what the numbers say should happen.
And his numbers are higher on BYU than
yes.
anybody else. 90% chance to make the playoff, 49% chance to win out, which means you're in the Big 12 title game, which means you're in the playoff.
Let's
if you win out, you're in the
do
playoff.
This.
Regardless of the Big 12 title game.
Woo! All right, join Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, and David Nixon as they break down the film from BYU's win over UCF in After Further Review tonight at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Coming up, what did Kalani Sitake have to say yesterday to the media after the bye week about preparing for Utah? And where is women's volleyball ranked ahead of a big matchup with number 13 Arizona State? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. Ain't no baby. I'm Jeremy. He's Jason. Time for today's headlines.
BYU football enters the bye week 8-0 and ranked number 9 in the AP poll. Yesterday, head coach Kalani Sitake spoke to the media about his message to his team as they enter the bye and prepare to play Utah.
Nobody talked about us in August, so why do we care that they're talking about us now? And then nothing against them, like, that's great, it's awesome for the fans, but our players have got to stay focused, stay humble, and try to find ways to get better. We still haven't done much, man. I said before, we can play better football. I'd like to see us play our best football of the year in this game.
Love to hear that. And it's not lip service. They're all buying into that, and I absolutely love it. We know BYU's on a bye this week. Well, Utah is as well. They will meet in Salt Lake City on November 9th, 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and BYU Radio in Salt Lake City.
Jake Kretzloff today was named to the midseason watch list for the Maxwell Award, presented to the most outstanding player in college football. Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick was on Coordinator's Corner yesterday, spoke about the growth of his quarterback when he took over as starter at the end of last season to where he is now.
I would describe it as, normal. That's the normal process we went through with Zach. It's the normal process we went through with Jaron. Keaton went through it with another team, and we got him as he was a seasoned veteran. I think he's going through the normal process that quarterbacks go through. And you can, he's played one full season now. And so you can expect him to play more like a veteran each game.
It's like he's entering, the second season since it's, game 13 coming up. Retzloff, currently fourth in the Big 12 in total offense, third in touchdown pass.
Staying with football, Will Farron was named the Big 12 Co-Special Teams Player of the Week for his performance in Orlando against UCF. Farron went 3-for-3 in field goal attempts, in addition to the special teams fake field goal that earned them Pop-Tart's Crazy Good Play of the Week. Yesterday on Coordinator's Corner, Kelly Papinga talked about making the call for the Crazy Good trick play.
That we wanted to be on. You ready to roll? And he said, let's go. And, the guys almost give it away on the sideline right there. They get so excited when I called, and I'm like, guys, calm down. We can't have them, see just, why we're getting so excited before we even take the field.
Can you imagine?
Shh. It's like, wait, something's going on. They're getting excited over there. Farron, 14 of 17 on field goal attempts this season. By the way, that is good for second in the Big 12.
My extended convo with Will and Sam coming out tonight on in the film room on the Stocky Show. Fun combo. The Pop-Tarts. I saw those Pop-Tarts in the office yesterday.
Did you take a box?
No, I did not. I have some in my office. I'm good. Dave McCann, however, going to get some, apparently. Women's basketball hosts Westminster tonight in an exhibition game at the Marriott Center. You can listen to it at 9 Eastern on the BYU Radio app with Yason Shepherd.
Thank you very much. BYU women's volleyball climbed up one spot to number 20 in this week's AVCA poll after a 4-set win at Colorado over the weekend. Big set of home games this week, beginning Thursday against number 13 Arizona State, who, by the way, swept BYU in Tempe earlier this season.
It's BYU's only loss that wasn't in 5 by 2 points. Arizona State's pretty good. You always got some payback.
Little revenge on the line.
In women's golf, 9th place at the Nanea Invitational in Kailua Kona, Hawaii after the opening round. MJ Berrigan leads the way for BYU, tied 21st at even par, thanks to her first career hole-in-one on the 8th yesterday. How about that? Round 2 tees off at 1:30 Eastern.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is tonight at 8:30 Eastern time on the BYU TV app. The guest will be tight end Tava Taase. He will be joining Greg Wrubell and head coach Kalani Sitake.
3 touchdowns on 4 catches. That's efficient.
It's not bad at all.
Still ahead, the champs are in the house. Big 12 match play champions, men's golf, Cole Ponich, Tyson Shelley show off the hardware after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. Jeremy Jordan and Jason Shepard. What we will not do is ever take our the following guest in two-on-two golf, which is not really a thing, but if it was match play, we're going down. Because you know who went down? Baylor. 4-1 in Big 12 match play. It is Tyson Shelley and Cole Ponich in studio with the trophy, Big 12 match play champs. Guys, thanks for coming in studio.
Thanks for having
us. Good to have you. The trophy looks great, too. Cole, what did it mean to win this a couple of weeks ago against Baylor and win the Big 12 match play championship?
Yeah, it was awesome. It's probably the biggest win I've had since I've been at BYU. So
that's saying a lot. You guys have won.
We've had some good wins, but that one was special. It was cool.
What about for you?
It was just an electric feeling. We were all there, and just on that last screen, we kind of just were going crazy. I feel like it was fun.
What honestly, I mean, you look at something like this, and this is the end result. This is the prize. What goes into getting something like this? Take us through what you guys, the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into having these types of accomplishments.
Yeah, I think our whole team's done a good job of putting in lots of work in the off season, and we've made a good promise to ourselves to be mentally tough, and I think we showed that really well this last tournament, and I think that's been the biggest thing for us this season so far, is just making that extra effort to be mentally tough. And yeah.
Beating Baylor, knowing, okay, if we win match play here, which is a little different than stroke play. The stroke play championship is later, right, in the late spring. But, hey, this is the fall championship. That picture's worth $1 million, right? Was it heavy, by the way, Cole, you're holding it right there?
It's pretty heavy.
you got some nice guns there. But winning this, what did it mean for this team? Because you're kind of taking a break, right, until February. You come home with the trophy and some confidence.
Yeah, we came home with a lot of confidence. We've put in so much work this past season, and we're excited. We're confident in our coaches. We're confident in our players that we're going to keep working. And we've been working with Dr. Bobby a lot with our sports psychology, and we're really confident in our mental game now. So it's been a lot of confidence boost, and I feel like we're going to play really, really well in the spring.
In every sport, by the way, are we wearing the same shoes today? Let's go, Doc. Let's go. In the mental aspect of golf, is there more needed in that sport than maybe some others, given that you are kind of by yourself, alone in your thoughts? You may have, Bruce or Todd over there chatting with you. But Cole, do you need that a little more? Like in football, it's like, oh, I'm out there with 10 other dudes. If I don't do my job, maybe he helps me. It's like, well, on the golf course, it's you.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, all individual sports, I think it's a more elevated level of mental toughness it takes to perform well, because like you said, you're just by yourself out there. So it's hard to, sometimes it can be hard to get yourself back in that positive mindset. But yeah, I think that's a big key for sure.
Along with that, I think it's a lot more slowing moving compared to like basketball or football. So we have a lot more time to think.
True.
So I think it is a lot tougher for us to get ourselves back in that positive mindset, but we have to do it if we want to perform the way we want to.
Maybe field goal kicker or punter or something. It's like, well, I'll have the moment that I need to perform. But even then, yeah, it's crazy, man.
We had mentioned that that MJ Berrigan of women's golf had her first career hole-in-one yesterday. For both of you, hole-in-one, have you guys had those?
I've had one, super rare.
Yeah, so I know.
Awesome. Tell us about it.
Yeah, where
was it? I was at Thanksgiving Point, hole 15. It's a little uphill par 3 and 6 iron, just right in the hole. I couldn't see it go in, but heard the greens up there. The people were screaming, so I'm like, wow. I was pretty excited. First one, though.
Cool. Do you have one?
I've had 6.
Whoa! Six. We're over here talking about, yeah, they're really hard to get
in. Tyson, you're the man. You've had 6?
Yeah. Wow. Which is your favorite?
My favorite, probably.
Save some for the rest of us, dog.
Probably hole 14 at Valhalla. It's where they've held a couple of PGA championships.
Yeah.
That one was special just because of the history at that course.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Ragnar Lothbrok, man. A little Viking reference there. Okay, Taylor. Tyson, sorry. You have a black belt in Taekwondo.
Yeah.
You still got it? You still have it?
Yep.
Okay, what did it take to be a black belt in Taekwondo? That's legit, dude.
So I'm half Korean, and my mom wanted me to do Taekwondo just kind of for culture. And I went in it when I was around 8, 9 years old, and I got my black belt. Once I got my black belt, I said, I'm going to go just focus on golf for the rest of the time. But yeah, I have the black belt, still have the black belt. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
What belt equivalent are you in golf, if you will?
Probably black belt as well.
Nice.
All right, so if we're talking about personal stuff here. So, Cole, your dad played football at Utah State. Your mom was a cheerleader at West Virginia, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
you already had some Big 12 there.
Yeah, so yeah, it was pre-Big 12, but so why golf? Did you grow up playing other sports? Did you consider other sports? Why golf?
I played some sports growing up. I played baseball and basketball. Obviously didn't have the size for either one of them, but
you can be a shortstop, yeah, right?
That's what I played.
You got the hair for a shortstop, yeah.
But no, my parents put a club in my hand when I was 2, so
wow,
not really my choice to get into golf. But I'd say at like the age of 10 is when I started taking it really serious.
Why was it golf that they chose for you? Was any have they ever said?
My dad said so. He got into golf after college,
yeah,
and he ended up becoming a scratch handicap, pretty good player. But he always would say that he wished he would have got into it sooner, and he wished he would have played that in college instead of football, because he had a lot of injuries and wasn't able to play after college. So
Lavelle said if he could have done it again, he might have done golf. Like he was like, dude, I would have been the kicker or the backup quarterback or golf. So yeah. Well done. Well, thanks for coming in. Congrats on the match play Big 12 championship, and we look forward to the season coming up in February. Resuming. Enjoy.
Appreciate
the day.
It. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
In.
Appreciate it. All right, BYU women's basketball in action tonight, exhibition style against Westminster. You can listen to the game on BYU Radio. I'll have it for you at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Top 5 Tuesday features a Halloween edition of the Top 5 Trick Plays from the football season. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Time for Top 5 Tuesday, the Top 5 Trick Plays from the football season.
All right, when you do 5, you start with number 5.
Thank you.
Here we go. Jake Retzlaff's fake reverse and then the pass to Tave Taase versus SMU. Cougars are trailing 12-7 in the third quarter. Enoch Nawahine took the snap, handed it to Retzlaff, who then faked the reverse to Cody Epps and threw it downfield to Taase for a pickup of 26 yards. This play set up the Nawahine rushing TD that would give BYU a 15-12 lead in route to the 18. Look at that leap. That's so beautiful.
Number 4, Sam Vanderhaar, fake punt against Baylor. Tyler Batty actually calls this. And then, boom, Vanderhaar, Aussie rules football for the win. 22 yards, which if you have just minimum one carry in the season, he's the leading rusher for BYU this year. BYU wins 34-28 at Baylor.
Number 3, Parker Kingston's double pass touchdown versus Arizona. So tied at 7 in the second quarter. You've got the pass behind the line of scrimmage, and then Parker Kingston throws the complete opposite side of the field to LJ Martin. He said in postgame, I was just thrown to a spot. I didn't even see LJ, which is just crazy.
3 touchdown passes on 4 throws in his career. He is the greatest quarterback in BYU history.
Hey, and the Cougs won 41-19.
Yes, they did. Number 2. Double snap fake field goal Saturday against UCF. Riggs to Vanderhaar, affair. Get out of bounds. Don't get hit. Could have thrown it, but the safety was going with Erickson. Runs for the first down. BYU 37-24.
And number 1, we go back to Parker Kingston.
What's better than this?
There we go. It's the punt return versus K-State. He bobbled it, and you're thinking, oh, this is bad. And then it went from bad to good really quick. 90 yards down the sideline for the touchdown. Exactly how Coach Papinga drew it up. BYU wins 38-9.
He ran 137 yards, is what they said. He's throwing up on the sideline. Our question today, are you expecting BYU to win out in the regular season? Our Elite Voice of the Day is presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated, Darian Miskin on X. Why not? As long as they play as good or better than they have, who can beat them? It's a great point. If they continue to play like they have, ain't nobody going to beat them. Let's
Agreed.
Go. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
All right, we're going to go to the Pop-Tarts Crazy Good Play of the Week, and we've got a picture. Look at this. So when you went to do the film room.
I saw these in the hallway, and I was like, dude.
With that many boxes, how did you not leave the football offices with a box of Pop-Tarts?
Because it ain't baseball, and thou shalt not steal, Shep.
Oh,
come
boy.
On, dog.
By the way, Pop-Tarts, frosted, unfrosted.
Oh, always frosted.
Yes, always.
Why would you have unfrosted? What's the point? It's not tart at that point, right?
Okay.
Come on, man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I saw them, and I thought, Whatever this pile is, it's not enough for the whole team here. This needs to triple. But they mailed that in. That's great.
Looks great.
Thanks to today's guests, Cam Miller, Cole Ponich, Tyson Shelley, started Dennis Pitta. We ran out of time.
All right, conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows you can find on demand at BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Kelly Bill. See you tonight for BYU football with Kalani Sitake, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app and 9 Eastern BYU Radio. Women's Hoops Exhibition. Go Cougs!
Go Cougs!